Good afternoon. It's good to be here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We're out this afternoon to bring something of the good news of the Christian gospel to you. We're a local congregation. We're a Scottish registered charity. We have nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be afraid of. That's why we come out, and we invite you to come along to our worship services. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just beside Thornwood Primary School. We meet on Sunday at 11 a.m. And again, we meet in the early evening at 6 p.m. And we would extend a warm welcome to you all. We also have a midweek meeting on Wednesday at 7:30. And again, a warm welcome to you, that you might come along and hear something more. Because on an occasion like this, especially when you're just passing by, you only pick up snippets. Come along and hear something more, because I'm sure you will agree with this, that there is great ignorance today concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and concerning the Christian gospel. And many people have made up their minds concerning Christ and the gospel secondhand. They've listened to someone else. We would advise you and urge you to go to the Word of God itself. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. And there you'll find out about real Christianity. Real Christianity changes the world. And it changes the world first and foremost because it changes the individual. That's what happened when the disciples went forth after Jesus Christ was crucified. He rose again, and he then commissioned his disciples to go into all the world. And when they did this, and they preached Jesus and the resurrection, the world was turned upside down, because lives were transformed and lives were changed. And the gospel has not lost its power. I want to read one or two verses from Mark's gospel. And if you want to read the Bible, and maybe you're not familiar with it, this would be a good starting point for you, Mark's gospel in the New Testament, because it's a fast-moving, action-packed gospel. And in chapter 2, verse 15 of Mark, "And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." There are a number of things in these three verses that we could highlight. But the first is that even in the first century, even the religious people, because they're mentioned there, the Pharisees and the scribes, they did not understand the mission of Jesus Christ. They didn't understand why he came. Because Jesus was in his house. And who was there? There were people described as publicans and sinners. Now, publicans in New Testament times were not those who had hotels or bars or inns. Publicans were tax collectors. And they took money from the Jews, from their own people, and gave it to the Romans. And because of that, they were hated. Absolutely hated and detested by the normal Jewish community. And they were called publicans. And they were regarded as the chief of sinners. And here were the chief of sinners in the house with the Lord Jesus Christ, who claimed to be a great religious leader and teacher. And the scribes and the Pharisees could not understand why Jesus would want to be associated with these kind of individuals. But Jesus said, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick." And how true that is, you know it yourself today. If you're fit, if you're well, if you're healthy, you don't go to the doctor. You don't want anything to do with the doctor. You're fit, you're well, you're active, you're healthy. You don't need to go near a surgery. That's what he's saying. But they that are sick, the publicans and the sinners recognized that they were sick. They recognized that they needed to be saved. And the Lord Jesus says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And there, friends, we are to realize that we will never understand or appreciate or love the Lord Jesus Christ until we first have an apprehension and an understanding of our great need of Him. You see, the Bible does not flatter us. Now, we're not out to embarrass anyone, and we're not out to hurt anyone, but the Bible does make it clear that it's none righteous, no, not one. We've all, like sheep, we've all gone astray, the Bible says. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you'll find that in your Bibles. You can go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and you'll find that. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the scribes and the Pharisees, who were religious people, they should have realized that they needed the Lord Jesus. They should have realized that they were sinners. But they didn't. They were self-righteous. But the publicans and the other sinners, they recognized that they needed the Lord Jesus Christ and what He could bring to them. And this is something, friends, that we must understand. And we will not understand it ourselves unless someone tells us, unless it's brought to our attention, because we're so inclined to think so highly of ourselves. We don't need Jesus. We are not sinners. But that's not God's verdict. And remember, you'll not be judged by man. You'll be judged by God. God is the ultimate judge. Not a man, not a human court, but God's court. And God's verdict will matter. That's why the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, young Timothy, as he was a pastor in Ephesus, in modern day Turkey, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And he goes on to say, "of whom I am chief." And he said this when he was the great Apostle Paul. He said this as a Christian. He recognized that even as a Christian, he was in some sense the chief of sinners. And therefore, he looked to the Lord Jesus to save him. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." I wonder if I asked a question this afternoon, Would you be able to answer it? Would you be able to give a correct answer? Why did Jesus come? Why did He come to this world? Why did He leave the realms of glory? Why did He humble Himself? Why did He become like us? Why did He take a human nature and a human body? Why did He undertake all that He did? Why did He do it? The Bible tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And He came in no ordinary manner. And He couldn't come in an ordinary manner. He was not conceived according to natural generation. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by a mysterious and supernatural act of God the Holy Spirit, so that He was not in any sense tainted with original sin. And therefore, being born in the normal manner, there was nothing miraculous about His birth. He was born perfect, with no original sin. He was absolutely perfect, and He lived a perfect life. You know, it's one thing to say that He was perfect, but His life demonstrated that He was. He never thought a wrong thought. He never spoke a wrong word. He never committed a wrong act. He never ever had to say sorry. He never had to retract His words. He never had to apologize for anything. Indeed, He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words shall never pass away." And this is the word that we seek to bring to you this afternoon. The word of the eternal Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We want to tell you therefore about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the fact that He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we're lost, friends. We're lost by nature. And the Gospel tells us, indeed God commands us in the Gospel. What does He say? God commands all men everywhere to repent. We're to repent from our sins, whatever that sin is. We're to repent from our blasphemy. We're to repent from our fornication, from our adultery, from our homosexuality, from our gossiping, from our lying, from our cheating, from all of these sins and many, many more. That's what it means to repent, to turn our backs upon these things and believe upon the Lord Jesus. And here's the glorious promise that's found in the Gospel, that all our sins, although they might be great, and although they might be many, they will be forgiven. I'm going to read to you a verse from Isaiah, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1. Come now, verse 18, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There the Lord Jesus Christ is bidding us come to Him. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What's He talking about? He's talking about the fact that when we come and when we avail ourselves of the salvation that's found only in Jesus Christ the Lord, our sins shall be forgiven. The slate shall be wiped clean. It shall be clear. Oh, that's not true, sir. What does the Bible say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. You just need to go to the cross, friends. Look at the cross, remind yourself of what happened to the cross, and there you see clearly the great love of God. For God punished His Son in the room and in the place of sinners. There God was providing a way of salvation. There God was working out a way whereby sinners might be reconciled to God through what Jesus Christ has done. Therefore, it is not true to say that God does not love mankind. God has demonstrated His love. And what's more, He has commissioned preachers to go forth and to declare this message to the ends of the earth. Why? Because He wants all men to hear this, that they might come, that they might embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. There, look at Him on the cross. There, see Him suffering. There, see Him bleeding and dying. Why? Because He was being punished in the place of sinners. For He hath made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a glorious and a wonderful change and transaction takes place when you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at the cross, friends, you not only see the love of God, but you see God's hatred of sin. Yes, because there God poured out His wrath upon His Son. His Son was punished. Sin had to be punished. Sin could not be swept under the carpet. It must be dealt with. Why? Because sin is offensive to God. It's against His holy nature. The Bible describes God like this: Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. That's the God who made you. That's the God who has formed you. That's the God that you're answerable to. A God who cannot look upon evil, who cannot tolerate iniquity. And you can see that when you go to the cross, when you study the theology of the cross. There God was punishing His Son. His Son, His sinless Son, became sin for us. And God was punishing Him. And therefore, friends, you can see the love of God and you can see the wrath of God as you look at the cross. And that's why we come out this afternoon, that you might know something more. Or you might even hear for the first time, because we live in a time of great ignorance. Many, many people are living and they're dying and they never hear anything about Jesus, other than that His name is used in a blasphemous sense. You know, His name is the most precious name in the world. There's no other name like the name of the Lord Jesus. And do you know, friends, the Bible tells us that one day every knee shall bow before King Jesus. Yes, King Jesus will return. Again, something the Bible declares, that the day will come when you'll see Him. Behold, it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, behold, He cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see Him. Every one of us. It doesn't matter how long we live. We'll die one day. But one day, we'll arise. We'll rise up from the grave. And we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ coming in all His power and glory. And the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And today, friends, we want to proclaim to you this Jesus, that He is your Savior. Because this is the day of grace. This is the day when the gospel is proclaimed. And this is the day when you are urged to make your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the day will come when you'll stand before Him and you'll give account. You will know that the Bible talks about a day of judgment. This is man's day, if you like. This is a day when man, to a certain extent, can do as he pleases. He can live his life just as he wants, to a certain extent. He can live, he can do all he wants. He can live his life without any reference to God, without any reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But God will have His day one day. It's called the Day of Judgment. That day will come when the Lord Jesus returns. And the Apostle Paul tells us, and others do as well, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Yes, friends, it's a very, very sobering thought that we'll give account. We'll give account for all that we have thought, all that we have said, and all our actions. We'll stand before Christ on His great judgment throne. And how will you fare? How will you stand that day? That everyone may receive the things done in His body. You know, the Bible would tell us that we cannot be saved by our works. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot work to be approved by God. That's not the way it works. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not by works, so that no man may boast. You cannot get to heaven by working for it. It's not by living a good life. It's not by being religious or charitable. That's not the way to get to heaven. But you cannot get to heaven by your works, but you will be judged according to your works. How then can a man get to heaven? How then can a woman get to heaven? Do you know the way to heaven? I once asked a Jehovah Witness, do you know the way to heaven? And he was fumbled. He stumbled and stuttered. He couldn't answer. And he just simply pointed up. That's the way. Friends, that's nonsense. We need to know the way to heaven. Do you know the way to heaven from Glasgow? Do you know the way to heaven from Dumbarton Road? I can tell you the way. It's not a mystery. The way is Jesus Christ. He Himself did say, I am the way, and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what he said. And if you want to know the way to heaven, it's only through the Lord Jesus. Through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its colour in the cup, when it moveth itself all right. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. That's what the proverb says about drinking. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wine. You know, we're urged to be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's what we're urged to be filled with. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. You know, there's a way to be happy in this world. What is that way? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You know, that's what we're here for. It's to enjoy God. And the only way that we can enjoy God is to have a living and a loving relationship with Him. And the only way that can be achieved is through the Lord Jesus. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Well, friends, how is the thought about that day of judgment? What can we do? Paul says, the verse I quoted earlier, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And he adds to that, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we come out. We seek to persuade you to turn from your sinful ways. Turn, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Who has he raised from the dead? Only one has been raised from the dead, never to die again. That is Jesus Christ. Therefore Jesus Christ will judge us on that great day. Therefore surely you should be preparing for that day. How can you prepare? The only way to prepare is to have Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. It is to know Him in a saving manner. It is to have your sins forgiven. How can I have my sins forgiven? You must go to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must deal with Him. There's no point in going to a minister of religion, or there's no point in going to confession to a priest. Who's going to forgive his sins. No point in going to a cardinal or an archbishop or the Pope himself. What's the point? Who's going to forgive his sins? Who's going to deal with their sins? You must go to the sinless one. You must go to the one who died for sinners, who paid the price in place of the sinner. You must go to the Lord Jesus. You must be and follow what John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You must deal with him. How can you possibly deal with him? You must call upon him. It's as clear and as simple as that. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We're going to take a short break to recharge our batteries, but may the Lord be pleased.